Hi y'all, welcome back to another episode of I Don't Know with Samantha George. This is the podcast where we talk about life, conspiracy theories, the paranormal, talk to guests, and occasionally have some deep conversations. What is up, everyone? Hope all of y'all are doing well. I honestly feel at this point, I occasionally pop by and greet y'all and just check up on y'all and leave. It's funny. I'm sorry. I should stop doing that. But well, yeah, it is what it is, I guess. So I've been watching quite a few shows recently. Not like I didn't watch before, but yeah, generally it was K-drama. Now I've just widened my horizons a bit. So yeah, I watched this show on Amazon called The Summer I Turned Pretty. It's basically from the author of To All the Boys I've Loved Before. So yeah, this show is very, YA-esque, for lack of better words. And it's like really, really nice. I would actually recommend that you'll go and watch it. So I don't know. I don't want to be like, I don't want to be cancelled or anything. But is it just me, or does, like, you know, the Amazon Prime original shows better than Netflix originals? Yeah. Is it better? Like, is it just me? I genuinely feel like it is, though, because I feel there's just like very few Netflix shows that like are hits. And because, again, it's overhyped, that's why they are hits, right? But Amazon, I feel like they consistently have this benchmark. Like, most of their shows are pretty good, right? And they always maintain a standard. I feel like Netflix is like, sometimes you get things like To All the Boys I've Loved Before. It was pretty good, not gonna lie. And then you have something like The Kissing Booth, which is, oh God, it was the worst movie ever. But yeah, so, you know, that's what I mean. With, like, Amazon, you have like the standard you can expect. Not the same thing with Netflix. So yeah, enough about my rant about which is better. I still watch Netflix, so I watch a lot of things on Netflix, just saying. But talking about another Netflix original, we're talking about Stranger Things. So I don't know if y'all have watched the show, because it's been like 2 weeks. And if y'all haven't watched it, I'm 1001% sure y'all have encountered some spoilers. 1001% sure y'all have. So yeah, if you haven't watched it, I feel sad for y'all. But don't worry, I'm not gonna talk about any spoilers on this episode. You're welcome. But yeah, I personally liked the show. Season one is always going to be my favorite, because, you know, I feel like it was a really nice concept, and how it was introduced and the storyline and everything was really cool in season one. Season two and season three was kind of a drag. Season four kind of stepped up compared to the other season two and season three, obviously. So yeah, I liked season four. I'm not really that disappointed with it. And even if I did like it, I was definitely going to watch season five. That's all I'm going to say. So yeah, this whole thing about Stranger Things, and after watching season four, it made me wonder if actually something like the concepts in Stranger Things exist in real life. Because come on, we got to be honest, governments conducting experiments on kids and people, it honestly doesn't seem like such a far-fetched idea. So I did what I do best. I decided to do some research, and turns out I was right. The governments have been conducting experiments on kids, people, you name it, and they have done it. So yeah, with that being said, that's what today's episode is about. Is Stranger Things real? So, Stranger Things draws its inspiration from real life events, namely Project MK Ultra. MK Ultra was the code name of an illegal human experimentation program designed and undertaken by the US Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. The experiments were intended to develop procedures and identify drugs such as LSD, etc., that could be used in interrogations to weaken individuals and force confessions through brainwashing and psychological torture. I mean, can you actually believe a government official suggested, like, hey, you know what we should do? We should get people real high, torture them, and then force out a confession from them. Can you actually believe someone was high enough, probably, to suggest that? And someone who was probably even higher was crazy enough to even accept that suggestion. So, yeah. That's how the CIA role is, I guess. Wow, I feel like I'm going to get cancelled or shot at for that. I take everything that I said back. Anyway, MKUltra used numerous methods to manipulate its subjects' mental state and brain functions, such as administering high doses of psychotic drugs like LSD and other chemicals. Other procedures also was conducted on these subjects. It included electroshocks, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, isolation, and verbal and sexual abuse, in addition to all other forms of torture. The project began in 1953, was reduced in scope in 1964 and 1967, and finally it was halted in 1973. It was organized through the CIA's Office of Scientific Intelligence and coordinated with the United States Army Biological Warfare Laboratories. The program engaged in a lot of illegal activities, including the use of US and Canadian citizens as unwitting test subjects. And this is not only with, like, you know, US and Canadian citizens. It also included a lot of Asian countries as well, especially countries that were still had American hold on them. So yeah, the program engaged in a lot of illegal activities, like I said, and MKUltra's scope was broad, with activities carried out under the guise of research at more than 80 institutions, including colleges, universities, hospitals, prisons, and pharmaceutical companies. Obviously, pharmacies had to be a part of this. That was a given, right? The CIA operated using front organizations, although some top officials at these institutions were aware of the CIA's involvement. So only the top officials probably knew what was happening. The rest just did things because they had to. And MKUltra was first brought to the public attention in 1975. That is like 2 years after most of its thing was supposedly halted, right? By the Church Committee of the United States Government and Gerald Ford's United States President's Commission on CIA Activities within the United States, also known as the Rockefeller Commission. Interesting, something that has the name Rockefeller and it was against the government, but well. Investigative efforts were hampered. However, this whole thing was hampered by CIA Director Richard Helms, who ordered that all the MKUltra files were to be destroyed in 1973. So I think they knew what was happening. Even though the investigations happened in 1975, I think there was probably like a mole who said, hey, we're keeping an eye on you. I think you should destroy every file that you have. That's why, like, 2 years earlier, they destroyed all the files. That just makes sense, right? So yeah, because of that, a lot of files, etc., had been destroyed of MKUltra. So all the investigative material was from sworn testimonies of direct participants in the MKUltra project, and from a small number of documents that survived Helms' order. So, you know, during the past freedom of information request, uncovered about 20,000 documents relating to MKUltra, which led to the hearing and, you know, us getting to know what the MKUltra was about. So yeah, it was pretty interesting, and a little bit more information was declassified basically in July 2001. Now the CIA's project, the whole MKUltra project, was headed by Sidney Gottlieb, but began on the order of CIA Director Alan Dulles on April 13th, 1953. The CIA, like I mentioned before, wanted to use successful methods on their own captives and was also interested in manipulating foreign leaders with such techniques. They often conducted experiments without the subject's knowledge or consent. In some cases, academic researchers were funded through grants from the CIA front organizations, but were unaware that the CIA was using their work for these purposes. This project attempted to produce a perfect truth drug for interrogating suspected Soviet spies during the Cold War and to explore other possibilities of mind control. There was another sub-project 54 that was Navy's top secret perfect concussion project, which was supposed to use sub-oral frequency blasts to erase memory. However, the program was never carried out. At least that's what they say. It's kind of, honestly, it's kind of creepy to even know that, you know, something which is almost like science fiction is something that people are actually working on and conducting experiments towards. And, you know, these experiments are not conducted on, not I'm saying, you know, you should conduct experiments on animals or anything like that, or like, you know, through stimulation or whatever. But these are experiments that are conducted on people, and these people don't even know that experiments are conducted on them. Like, imagine one day you're going for, like, you know, you're just going to the CIA's office or something, and they're like, hey, why don't you just grab a cup of tea, and you just drink the tea and boom, there's no memory. You just forgot every single thing that happened to you in your entire life. Yeah, it's honestly pretty creepy what they've been doing. So yeah, according to Kinzer, who was one of the whistleblowers of the case, he stated that Gottlieb wanted to create a way to seize control of people's minds, and he realized it was a two-part process. First, you had to blast away the existing mind. Second, you had to find a way to insert a new mind into the resulting void. We didn't get too far on number two, but he did a lot of work on number one. That honestly gives me chills. Like, I'm not even, like, lying. Imagine, like, someone is willing to put someone else's collateral damage, right? They're just like, hey, I'm gonna make you forget every single thing that you did in life, and I'm gonna make you a whole new person. However, I still don't know how to make you a whole new person. So I feel like most of the people that, you know, these experiments were conducted on turned, at the end of it, had to, like, be diagnosed at a, you know, mental institution or something like that, because I'm pretty sure it was a fail. At least that's what we get to know. And even if it was like a success, no one knows about it because it's that classified. Yeah, I personally don't know how to react to this, not gonna lie. Like, I'm just imagining, you know, waking up one day with no memory of the past. I mean, it low-key doesn't sound that bad if I think about it, but, like, you know, at least I'd want like a selective memory dissociation rather than my entire memory being scratched out and, like, you know, starting off on this. Okay, never mind. The more I talk about it, it seems even more appealing. But I still do not think it should be conducted on, like, you know, on unwitting individuals, at least. So yeah, I don't know how to react to this, or whether I should believe in something like this or not. Anyway, continuing with the episode, this project did not start off in the USA. Like I mentioned before, this was a work that began in the World War II era in the Japanese facilities and Nazi concentration camps. Obviously, when you have, like, you know, human experiments, Nazi is a given, right? So now the CIA secretly recruited Nazi torturers to continue the experimentation on thousands of subjects. They were brought to Fort Detrick, Maryland, to instruct CIA officers on the lethal use of certain gases. MK Ultra also used mescaline on unwitting subjects. Now, the whole project began during the period of what English journalist Rupert Conwell described as paranoia at the CIA, when the US had lost its nuclear monopoly and the fear of communism was at its height, and they believed that a mole had penetrated into the organization at the highest level. So the test subjects were in the areas under American control in the early 1950s in Europe and East Asia, mostly Japan, Germany, and Philippines. The CIA created secret detention centers so that the US could avoid avoid criminal prosecution. The CIA captured people suspected of being enemy agents and other people it deemed expendable to undertake various types of torture and conducted human experimentation on them. The prisoners were interrogated while being administered psychotic drugs, as mentioned before, electroshock, and subjected to various kinds of torture, including extreme temperature, sensory isolation, and, you know, they just wanted to develop a better understanding of how to destroy and control the human mind. In 1973, the Watergate scandal broke, and CIA Director Richard Helms, like I mentioned before, ordered MKUltra files to be destroyed. In 1973, the New York Times alleged that the CIA had conducted illegal domestic activities, including experiments on its own US citizens during the 1960s. And during the investigations, they found out that, you know, quite a few people had died because of these experiments. And, although they could not find the exact number of people that died, for sure it's confirmed that one person named Frank Olson, who was a United States Army biochemist and bioweapons researcher, was given LSD without his knowledge or consent in November 1953 as part of the MKUltra experiment, right? And he died by suicide by jumping out of the 13-story window a week later. In Canada too, the issue took much longer to surface but became widely known in 1984 in a CBC news show, The Fifth Estate. It was learned that not only had the CIA funded the efforts, but also the Canadian government was fully aware of it and had later provided $500,000 in funding to continue the experiments. This revelation largely derailed efforts by the victims to sue the CIA, as their US counterparts had. And the Canadian government eventually settled out of court for $100,000 to each of the 127 victims. And no one actually knows how many people survived the experiments. And the people that did survive, no one knows if it was successful or whether it was a fail. And I guess we will never get to know about it. Now, obviously, we don't know whether, you know, an 11 exists out there or an upside down of a city exists. But we have something else that can back the notion of government's illegal experimentation. This is the Montauk Project, which is actually a conspiracy theory. But this theory alleges that there were a series of United States government projects conducted at Camp Hero or Montauk Air Force Station in Montauk, New York, for the purpose of developing psychological warfare techniques and exotic research, including time travel. Unlike Camp Half-Blood in Percy Jackson, it is not fictional because this is an actual airbase that exists. The story of the Montauk Project originated in the Montauk Project series of books by Preston Nichols. According to the UFO researcher Jack Valley, the Montauk experiment stories seem to have originated with a highly questionable account of Preston Nichols and Al Bielek, who both claim to have recovered repressed memories of their own involvement in the project. Preston Nichols also claims that he was periodically abducted to continue his participation against his will. Preston claims to have degrees in psychology, parapsychology, and electrical engineering, and he has written a series of books known as Montauk Project series along with Peter Moon, whose real name is Vincent Barbaric. The primary topic of Montauk Project concerns the alleged activities at Montauk Point. These center around topics including United States government and military experiments in fields such as time travel, teleportation, mind control, contact with extraterrestrial life, and staging faked Apollo moon landings. Yeah, he brought out the big guns, guys. So, continuing with the story, the work had been characterized as fiction because the entire account was fabricated by Preston Nichols. But that is to some extent. However, there is still some truths in the story about Camp Hero. Number 1. The Camp Hero experiments. Montauk Project conspiracy theory followers believe that the US government conducted a series of projects at Camp Hero to develop psychological warfare techniques and research paranormal activity. Like I mentioned, it included time travel, mind control, and contact with extraterrestrial lives. Christopher Garitano, the New Yorker behind the 2014 documentary Montauk Chronicles, investigated allegations brought by three men who claimed they were brainwashed and forced to take part in experiments at Camp Hero in the 1970s and 80s. Garitano also employed a geophysicist to analyze the ground underneath the old base and found evidence of large structures not recorded on official maps. Forget all the alien and MKUltra crap, Garitano told the New York Post. I think there are some type of experimentations out there using kids or teenagers. Maybe runaways from New York. I honestly wish I could imitate a New York accent. That would have been so much more fun. But I can't, and I don't want to put myself under such embarrassment. So I shall refrain from even trying to imitate a New York accent. Anyway, continuing with point number two, the nuclear conspiracy theory. New York State Park System now owns the abandoned property, known alternatively as Fort Hero, Camp Hero, Montauk Air Force Base, etc., which dates back to the Revolutionary War and boasts panoramic views of the Atlantic Ocean. At one point, the base was disguised as a fishing village with Cape Cod-style houses. A radar tower was erected at the base to provide 30 minutes warning in an event of nuclear attack. The antenna reportedly emitted 427 hertz while operational, a frequency strong enough to interfere with neighbors' TV sets. Could it have also affected their thoughts? Well, no one knows for certain, but it's something that we actually can think about. Paul Fagan, a local, believes that the US may have also secretly buried a nuclear reactor at the site in the 1950s and leaked wild conspiracy theories to deflect from what they were actually doing. It honestly seems very US of them. So yeah, I mean, just putting it out there, it doesn't seem very far-fetched, but it is far-fetched. Number three, the Philadelphia experiments. Intriguingly, the Montauk projects intersects with another legendary conspiracy theory, the 1943 Philadelphia experiments, where the US military supposedly created technology that could render naval ships invisible to enemy radar. A man named Al Bielek saw a B-movie based on the theory, the Philadelphia experiment, in 1988 and said he experienced deja vu. Bielek claimed that he unlocked a repressed memory involving time travel and his involvement in both the Philadelphia experiment and the Montauk project, indicating a connection between the two. Number 4. A portal into another dimension. Typical Stranger Things-esque. In Stranger Things, the secretive Hawkins lab is backed by the US Department of Energy. In real life, the Brookhaven National Laboratory, about 60 miles from the Montauk base, is run by the US Department of Energy. Both are home to an interdimensional portal vortex, or as Stranger Things crew refers to it as a gate into a different dimension, reports the Long Island Press. The coincidences don't stop here. According to the newspaper, they're both steeped in mystery. They're both off-limits to the public and well-protected against trespassers. They both feature mind-blowing facilities and equipments that are literally rewriting everything that the scientific community understands about cosmic matter, the creation of the universe, nanoparticles, time, space, and so much more that we can only begin to comprehend it all. In the late 1960s, equipment from Brookhaven was moved to Camp Hero and installed in an underground bunker. According to conspiracy theorists, Camp Hero may have been closed above ground, but everything underground remained the property of the Air Force and may still be operational. Number 5 is aliens. Camp Hero was officially shut down in 1981, But that hasn't stopped the hordes poking around, searching for traces of aliens supposedly held in underground bunkers connected by labyrinths of tunnels. The site fires the imagination, much like Nevada's Area 51, which is a test site for the world's most advanced espionage programs. And if conspiracy theorists are right, a hub for aliens. And I've also released an episode about Area 51. Go check it out if you haven't already. Wow, that's such a cool plug there. But yeah, go do what you need to do, guys. So yeah, there are quite a few things that at least backs the notion of human experimentation and, you know, interdimensional portals, etc. However, if you ask me personally, it does seem a little far-fetched, right? I do, however, believe that there are various governments out there, not only the US, but various other governments that have been and are still conducting experiments on humans. And maybe these people know that they are, you know, test rats, but most of the time, I feel like they don't know that they are like the test rats. So, not only governments, I feel a lot of companies, especially pharmaceutical companies, do conduct experiments as well. But yeah, I guess money makes everything move. So yeah, literal hush money is being used to cover up every single thing that governments and companies do. But that's about it for today's episode. I know the title is kind of clickbaity, I guess. But hey, we did draw some similarities between human experimentation and 11. So it wasn't that clickbaity. Let me know what you'll think about the episode though. Like, do you believe that the governments are out there covering up their experiments and maybe even their mistakes? You never know. Do you think another dimension exists out there where everyone is happy and there are unicorns and rainbows instead of, you know, the upside down or something like that? And also, if you want to talk about Stranger Things, hit me up. That would be cool too. I've been watching quite a bit of it. I mean, I have finished season 4. And if you also watched The Summer I Turned Pretty, hit me up. I'd love to talk about it. Are you Team Conrad or Team Jeremiah? Let me know. And that is scene and the end of the episode. So if you want to be a guest on I Don't Know with Samantha George, or if you have a story that you feel needs to be shared on the podcast, DM me on Instagram at idkwsamanthageorge. And until then, just binge listen to old episodes or something, y'all. It's honestly, I have so many episodes released. Just binge watch them binge listen to them. Yeah, until then, see you when I see you. Bye.